Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're joined by Eric Davis, ED, who was, of course, the Super Bowl champ back in the day with the Niners. Niner fans, Scott doesn't have to buy a meal for the rest of his life. When you pick off Aikman and go to the house, that is something that's pretty sweet on the resume. Also, my former partner for a little bit in San Francisco, and he's the host of the Believe in the 49ers podcast, E. Dizzle. What's happening, E.D.? It's been a little bit. How are you, man?
I'm holding on for an old man. You know me, bro.
I knew you were going to say that.
Smoking mirrors, man. Smoking mirrors. That's how I do it.
How's the family? Everybody okay?
Everyone's good, and hopefully everything's good on you guys.
No complaints, man.
Everything's good,
look,
buddy.
We talked a little bit about this game, this Ravens 49ers game at the beginning of our broadcast here. And, I mean, the Ravens are great. We know this. They find ways to win. Lamar Jackson's finding ways to win. But the measuring stick was the 49ers because of how well they've been playing defensively, but also how consistently they've been offensively. Now, I'm a running back guy. You know this, E.D., but Raheem Mostert, where the heck did this kid come from? Rushing for 150 yards and a 40-yard touchdown. I thought it was a Tevin Campbell show, and all of a sudden this guy comes out of nowhere. It's almost like John Lynch has built this team with, like, layers that even if you're not paying attention, you're not seeing. What's the depth situation like in San Francisco? Because that's an asset.
Radio Raheem has been there the entire time.
Yeah.
You just touched on it. That's John Lynch has built this team. He's flipped this roster, and it's a very good team. And everyone talks about how good a coach Robert Saleh is defensively as a coordinator and what Kyle Shanahan is doing. And I keep telling everyone, it's easy to be a good coach when you have a talented locker room.
Yep.
Mostert has been there. What Kyle Whitten did, he went and got players that had multiple roles within the offense at the running back position, but they can all do what's necessary, run between the tackles, catch the ball out of the backfield, and block, you know, all the things you know as a running back that you have to be able to do. But he's got some fast guys, man. Breida is fast. Mostert's fast. And that's something that people don't realize until you play them because they're not the household names.
Yeah.
And on the East Coast, you guys don't see this team as much. And I tell everyone all the time, the team is as good as advertised, and you don't realize how big, how long, and how fast they are until you actually get on the field with them. And for the most part, they've been over to overwhelm people with that. But, you know, this is a guy that they've been using, and it just depends on which game it is. Kyle, it's kind of that Belichick thing. Depending on the opponent, I'm going to utilize this player. And it was Mostert's day.
You know, so as I introduced E.D., I said we used to work together for a little bit back in 2011 in San Francisco. And that was the start of the Niners renaissance. I mean, really, they'd been down for a long time. And for those who may have forgotten, Gore was obviously on that team. Justin Smith, who was a real terrific defensive lineman. Pete Willis, Bowman, young Joe Staley, Upati. The team was terrific. Vernon Davis. That team versus this team. I know they're different in certain regards here, E.D., but in terms of the ceiling, do you think this team has a higher ceiling or no?
I think this team has a higher ceiling. I think this team is actually a better team than that one. This team isn't as good as the one that lost to the Giants in the NFC Championship. I actually think that was the best team that John Harbaugh put together. That team that lost in the NFC Championship game, not the one that went to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I believe this is a better team because I think what they can do defensively actually outshines that one. And offensively, I think you have more levels. Garoppolo doesn't get a lot of credit for what he is capable of doing. And I was a guy that was saying, show me. You know me, BT. Everyone was like, he's a franchise quarterback. And I was like, he hasn't done a damn thing for the franchise yet. Let's just see if he can start. I just want to see if he's a consistent starter. But every week he grows and he does what's necessary. When they need him to throw, he throws. When they need him to come from behind, he comes from behind. When they need him to just stand there and hand it off and not screw it up, he's comfortable doing that. So I like what's happening. But I do think this team can peak at the same level that team. I mean, they had their opportunities. I still say, Jim Harbaugh hadn't called a timeout, they would have won that Super Bowl.
Yep.
But that's neither here nor there.
Agreed.
So that's one of those things. Uh-huh. I have to let that go. But this team, this club has a chance because in the NFC, The best team in the NFC sitting here today, I think, is the Seattle Seahawks. But the 49ers, being within that division, they can beat them. The best team in the AFC, and I think the best team in the league today, is the Ravens. And we saw that game and the potential that they have to play at that level. So this team can peak out as the best team in the league.
Yeah.
And
that's what let me just say real quick.
Yeah.
Frank Gore is greater than Michael Crabtree.
How's this guy still playing? I remember saying 2011, I was saying he was done.
I'm talking about the Super Bowl, though.
He was done Frank, 10 years ago.
Come on, man. Just hand the ball off.
That's what I'm saying.
Give Frank one chance.
I'm just saying.
Give him Frank. Frank would have killed himself to get into the Super
Bowl. I agree.
He would have lost a limb. But even though you did that, if he had just trusted his quarterback and not called the timeout,
they had the
perfect call, and Cap would have walked into the end zone.
That's
but
exactly
that's
right.
Here nor there. I just lost the ring.
It's the end of the day. You got to turn the page, ED. That's Eric Davis, of course, a former Niner in Carolina. Quarterback, a lot of picks, a couple of the Pro Bowls, a championship, and he's working for the. He's got a podcast, Believe in the Niners podcast. Let me ask you this, ED. From what you just have this air of confidence. I mean, you walk into a room, not overtly, not showy, but I know that you know, and I could see how it would correlate to your playing days. You would step on a field and you would think, not many guys faster than me, not many guys smarter than me. I'm going to be in the right spot. Nobody's going to run by me. I got to see how your mind worked working with you every day for a year and a half, roughly. So I want to know what it must be like for a quarterback to walk on the field and look at the opposing quarterback and know that that quarterback is faster. Because corners aren't used to that kind of dynamic. How unnerving is that playing against Lamar Jackson?
Well, first of all, I don't think that there's a cornerback walking out there that thinks he's faster. That's part of it. And I actually don't think he's faster. If you saw in this game, and that's one thing I said going into this game, I think the 49ers are one of the few teams that are faster than the Baltimore Ravens offense. Defensively, they're faster. I don't think you're going to run away from them. Now, Lamar Jackson is going to be able to get his yardage because of the way they play him. I went to Division II school. Division II school, we play a lot of running quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that you learn playing running quarterbacks is that there are rules that apply versus that offense that don't apply to any other offensive script. And you have to forget what you already know defensively and play to that particular script of the day. The 49ers didn't do that. And you have to play the option quarterback a specific way, period, every single time, or you get yourself in trouble.
Yeah.
And when you don't, Lamar looks faster than everyone else. So I don't think you're walking on the field, you know, once you get past the defensive line, I don't think anyone's walking out there thinking he's faster.
Huh.
You just know that he's capable of making plays. Defensive backs are faster for the most part. They're going to be faster. They're quicker. They're better athletes. They have to be. It's just a harder position.
Yeah, so, ED, let me I hear you, but let me challenge you. So you're telling me that Mike
Vick... God, it doesn't look that way, though.
No, it doesn't. So Mike Vick wasn't faster than corners? Like a lot of certainly safeties, but he wasn't faster than corners?
He was faster than some, not all, but none thought that he was faster. And then the thing about playing corner, always, BT, you know you've heard me say this before, it's about leverage and angle.
Yeah,
remember,
we're
not running a 100-yard dash. We're not running a straight line.
Yeah.
It's about taking the proper angle, the proper leverage. And he's not fast enough to take away the angle that I can take to tackle it.
Interesting.
So that's the thing that I know about now. So if we're lining up running, you know, 100 meters, that's different. But a 4-2 is not a question of being as fast as a 4-2, even if you don't run one. It's a question of meeting him at the proper intersection.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's right.
That's what you understand as a DB.
Yeah, and the physics of players different. Like Brandon Jacobs, who was so much bigger than me, but seems slower than me. If we ran 100, he'd beat me by, you know, 10 yards.
Why, longer stride?
Just a longer stride. He's big and strong and powerful, but I was obviously, like, more athletic than he was, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
so I know what you're saying, ED.
Yeah.
And so let me ask you this. You played with Steve Young. You were on a team with Steve Young, right? And Lamar Jackson, there's not many comparisons that you point to who have the athletic ability to take off and run with it, but also can stay in the pocket and actually want to and be a good passer down the field. When you look at Lamar Jackson and having that history with Steve Young, there's a similarity there. Does it portend good things or still worrisome things because people worry about him getting hurt?
Well, that is a very good comparison. Because Greg Roman is the offensive coordinator there, everyone compares him to Colin Kaepernick.
Yep.
And Robert Griffin being on the team, they compare him to those guys. And I said this to someone last week. he's a better quarterback than both of those guys. He's a better runner. He's a bigger body. You know, we remember when Haloti Ngata hit Robert Griffin, almost knocked his leg off, literally almost knocked it off his body.
It's true.
You have a running back in LJ who's a bigger, stronger body. Then from a pocket standpoint, he's a better quarterback, a better thrower of the ball already than Cap was. It's hard. You know how it is when you're comparing him to a Hall of Famer. That's tough. Does he have what? From what I see, do you see him working on his mechanics, his footwork, his delivery, to where he could be able to stand in the pocket and be a very good quarterback? I do see that, and I think that that's a much better comparison. Saying that that's where he could max out, and not comparing him to Michael Vick or Kaepernick. I think he's a different type quarterback, and that could be it, because it was debilitating to defenses. We used to see them.
Yeah.
And you saw it in this last game where it's third and eight and he runs for nine.
Yeah.
It's third and four and he scrambles and he gets six. And, you know, you get right now with this team, if you get them, they hit the 45-yard line, you know that it's now four down territory.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to play against that when you know you have a quarterback that can get 2-3 yards every time he chooses to do so. So good comparison. And let's see where he maxes out, because that's a lot of pressure, man, putting that ghost on his shoulders.
Yeah, what are you doing there, Tiki? Come on, let the young man mature.
He looks mature as it is right now. Let 2 weeks ago, he's like pointing to a defender like, yeah, you're not catching me. Hold on, let me throw this sidearm pass to my tight end for 8 yards.
It's crazy. Edie, I want to run one more thing by Eric Davis, former Niner, and he's doing some work for the Believe in 49ers podcast. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney CBS Sports Radio. So I remember vividly sitting in Candlestick before it was ripped down, the playoff game against the Saints, and Alex Smith had that long run down the left side, and Joe Staley got out and gave him a block, and the eventual touchdown to Vernon, and the place was going bonkers. It took Levi Stadium a while to find its soul. Number one, the team was bad. Mm-hmm. 40 miles outside of the city. I remember there was like an issue with the sun part of it. It was too hot. Has Levi Stadium truly become a legitimate, like the Niners are accustomed to, a legitimate home field advantage, or is it still in that transition?
Oh, it's in a transition. The reason Candlestick was what it was is because of the history that happened on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can't talk about it. You can't write the history of the NFL. You cannot make a movie. You cannot write a book without putting a chapter in there about Candlestick. Too much history of the 100 years of this game has happened on that field. Levi hasn't had that yet. So until you have the games, like, you know, a step in that direction was the game, even though they lost, that game versus Seattle a few weeks back.
Yes.
That game has some important – you have to have those type games where you're playing at that level at that time, and games that mattered, games of relevance for something to happen. So the crowd was in it. They were there. The more the team wins, you touched on it, they haven't been good, so the games don't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
The fan base is very smart. The fan base for the Niners expect you to – play for championships. They expect you to be a Pro Bowl player. They expect you to have, you know, they want guys to have all pro potential. You know, you are measured at the quarterback position by Joe and Steve, wide receiver Jerry, you know, Ronnie, you know, that's what you're graded by, and that's what the fan base is accustomed to. So you have to play those games. It's coming. If they continue to play at this level, every game has more relevance,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see that the crowd will be into it. They were into it that Seattle game. I think they'll be into it down the stretch, because all these games now have playoff placement potential, so you will be into them. But it'll grow. It'll grow. You know, you get some pick sixes in there in the playoffs, people will cheer for you. I know.
That's right.
I know. You score that winning touchdown in the playoffs. You were there, BT. You know. That place will rock.
It was nuts.
Levi has that potential.
Got you. Hey, listen, anytime you want me on the podcast, I'll teach you some X's and O's like I teach Tiki every day. I can teach you guys the schematics of the game anytime you need me, man.
I love it. I love it, guys. Always good talking to you, and I'm going to hold you to that.
All right, E.D., I'll talk to you, buddy. Good job today. Thank you.
Fellas.
There he is.
Take it easy.
Eric Davis, former Niner champion.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.